So David just thinking about in this psalm and proclaiming about how he was put together in his mother's womb, that he was in his mother's womb, and that God was working in that time when he was in his mother's womb, being put together, being formed. So as we look at this psalm now, as we look at Psalm 139, we're going to discover something very interesting about God. And I want us to see this as it relates to him, his creation, to us, and to the moms that are in our life. To think about, you know, we many times think of this psalm and we think about the fearfully and wonderfully made part, which is important, and we'll get to that in a little while. But it also speaks a lot to the individual person, but especially if we're going to focus on moms this morning, of those unseen moments, the exhaustion, the idea of doing the things that we do because of love, you know. So let's just jump right into that psalm, 139. We'll pick it up in verse 1. We can go back to verse 1 now, Zeke. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You know, this idea of the knowledge of God, the idea that David in this psalm is acknowledging that God knows everything about him, knows everything about him. He searches us. He searched David. He knew David. David maybe possibly was thinking about the gods, the false gods, or the so-called gods of the people around him, these pagan gods that were no gods at all. And he says, these gods, all they seem to care about is themselves, you know, and they don't care about people. They just care about people and the destruction. They're hostile and indifferent to men and women and worse than that. He said, but we have a God, the true God, who knows us, who searches us, who knows every aspect of our life. And it's so interesting to us, and I think that I want us to, you know, change our focus this morning, because we can say that truly in a general sense. We can say, right, and we've all said it, well, God knows everything, right? And that's one thing to say that, but it's a whole other thing to say he knows me, right? Yeah, God knows everything too, but he knows you. Take it down to that personal, intimate level. It's one thing to say, you know, God is everywhere, which he is. But it's also more interesting and personal to say he's everywhere with me. You know, we can say absolutely true, stand upon the foundation of God's word and understand that God created everything. But you also can and should recognize and say, he created me. Not just at all, me, little old me, me personally. He knows us so much that he knows when we sit down and when we stand up. When you turn your head to the side, when you blink your eye. He knows it. He knows the little thing. He knows the big things and the small things. You know, Jesus said in one of the Gospels, he said, he knows every hair on your head. And not only does he know and see you and understand your movements, but the next verse says what? That he understands my thoughts afar off. God knows what you are thinking. Your thoughts. Now listen, right now, we are listening, but as we're listening, we're all thinking, aren't we? We have thoughts, right? Some of you are saying, why did he take his jacket off? Some of you say, I hope he doesn't go too long. We have reservations. We gotta go. You know? There's thoughts going through our heads all the time, even when we're thinking about other stuff. We're listening to something else. There's thoughts. We're processing. The mind is amazing. The brain is amazing. And you and I foolishly think that what we keep up here is up here and nowhere else. Now, you've all met someone that you've used the term, they have no filter. You know people like that? It comes here, it comes out there, right? They got no filter. Most of us have a filter. It works most of the time. But we think of things up here, and what comes out here is either a different version or it doesn't come out at all. Right? They're really an idiot, and you're thinking up here, and you're, you know. I think down south they say, God love them, or God love them. What's that say? It really means you're just, yeah, bless your heart, bless your heart. You're just like, you're an idiot. Bless your heart. You know, we have filters, but we all have thoughts, and we think it's all up here, but guess what? God knows them. Somebody went, uh-oh. Uh-oh. God knows your thoughts. Yes, he does. Not just what you do on the outside, what you're thinking of on the inside. Every thought. You're acquainted, it says, with all my ways. Does that terrify you? Does that terrify you? It actually comforts me. It comforts me this way. Not that I am proud of everything that goes through this brain that I'm thinking of, that God's knowing what I'm thinking of. No, that because there's some crazy nonsense that goes on up in this cuckoo head. But it's the fact that he knows it and still loves me. He knows it. And he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm there with you. I go, wow, Lord. If you can love me even through this, even through my thought life, oh, man, that is a wonderful comfort. Because you ever been around somebody, and I didn't even think about this. I was, you know, speaking this message this morning, but I didn't think about it. But, you know, have you ever been around somebody and you kind of click with the person, and maybe it's just a short time, 5-10 minutes, you kind of click with them, and you kind of think, hey, we got along really well. I don't know if I want to meet them again, because if they get to know me more, they're going to know that I'm just like... It's nice that they know me for 10 minutes and, like, I put on my best behavior and everything. Guess what? God knows everything about us, and he doesn't want to leave us, and he's known us all of our lives. Isn't that amazing? That should be comforting. That should be comforting. Because he's not going to get tired of you. He's not going to get fed up with you in the way that we get fed up. He knows our thoughts. Now, that should also, though, give us pause to say, Lord, help me to think properly. You know, Lord, help me with my thoughts. And beyond knowing what we do and our actions and knowing our thoughts, he has hedged us behind and before. He's in front of us, behind us. He's, like, around us. Now, listen. The thought today of being watched is getting on my nerves, because we are being watched constantly. And we're allowing it, by the way. We're being surveilled. Some of you are looking at me like, what is he talking about? You walk down the street, you're on every camera that's in somebody's home. You know that. You walk by an ATM, you're on camera. You're driving your car, you're on camera. Oh, no, not on my block. Yeah, they're everywhere. I didn't even know it, but they came up unannounced and put a police camera on my corner of my street. We're being like, I'm like, why is this? We're on surveillance all the time. And that grates me. I told you before, when we were in London, the people there, they can't move, I mean, at all without being on camera constantly. Taxi drivers, the Uber drivers, they're like, we don't even want to drive anymore, because everything we do, we're getting tickets in the mail, we're getting slammed, you know, it's like crazy that we're being watched and surveilled all the time. And when we're being surveilled that way by people, it really gets on my nerves, and it should get on our nerves, and we need to say, enough's enough now. And he's thinking, where's this message going? It's not about that. Because as much as that gets on my nerves, and it should get you on yours too, it really should. I know people saying, but it protects, it doesn't, because who's watching, and who's watching the watchers? But anyway, I can get on a tyrant, but I'm not. But the idea that God is watching me all the time, that comforts me. To know that he is behind me and before me and he's watching me every moment. That's comforting. You know, just as a mom wants to watch over her kids all the time, right? You want to watch them all the time, right? But you know you can't. But God is watching us all the time. There's times our kids get out of our line of sight for whatever reason. You know, every mom and dad too, but you know, when we're talking about moms today, you know, it's that panic feeling like when your kids are in and all of a sudden one's missing, it's like, ah, you know, right? Because we try to do our best to keep our eyes on them, but we don't always do it well. But God never misses a beat when he's watching us. He's watching us all the time. He knows everything that's going on with us. He's laid his hand upon us. And David, at this point in the psalm, and it's still early in the psalm, he says, this knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's like blowing my mind that it could be this amazing God. That you know my thoughts, you know my actions, you're watching me all the time. This is amazing, God. It's humbling, but it's also comforting. He knows us better than we know ourselves. David kind of goes on now with the same thought in verse 7. He says, wait, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Now, I'm going to tell you, I this is what I do not think David had in mind when he was writing this, right? He's under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but as he's writing these words, I don't think that David had at that in himself that time a Jonah moment. You know what I mean by a Jonah moment? I don't think that David's saying, yeah, God, you're watching me all the time. Where can I hide from you? You know, like, I want to go into a cave somewhere and cover. I don't think that at all. I don't get that in this psalm. And you read the rest of the psalm. I think David is actually celebrating this. He's saying, where can I go from you? I can't leave you, and that's a good thing. You always can see me no matter where I go. If he says, if I ascend into the earth, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, and this doesn't mean the lake of fire hell, this means Sheol, the place of the dead. He said, if I make my place down there, you're there too. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. See, I don't think, trying to hide from God, to run from God. He's celebrating the fact that no matter where he goes, God is watching him. You know, when we're younger, real young, because it changes kind of quickly with us, but when we're real young, it's comforting to know that mom is watching you. Right, you're playing over here. Did you ever see little kids do that? They look up all the time, make sure you're not alone. Oh, they're here, they're watching me. Okay, they're watching me. And they like that. But then as they get a little bit older, it's kind of like, well, how can I hide from mom? You know. And then they get a little bit older and say, all right, I'm going to go hang with my friends, mom. Don't watch. Get away from mom, right? But guess what, though? There's that comforting fact to know that somebody is watching out for you. Even when you don't really want mom or dad watching you, you don't want mom watching you, there's a part of you that says, I hope somebody's watching out for me. Even when you're doing some knucklehead thing, you're kind of like, I hope they're still watching out for me. Well, David says, you know what? Even in the best of human relationships, there's only so much watching a parent can do. And as much as a mom wants to watch her kids all the time and make sure they're well, even when they're old and when they're grown, and even when they have families on their own, there's a limit to the eyesight of the mom and the gaze that they can have over their family, over their loved ones all the time. But guess what? Our God is looking at us all the time. And nothing, nothing, nothing can interfere with his view. Even if we try, we cannot hide from him. Paul said it like this in Romans. You know it quite well. I'm not going to repeat the whole verse, but the idea of the verse. He says, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Height, depth, angels, principalities, powers, nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing can separate us from the gaze of our God. And you should say, thank you, Jesus, that you're watching over me all the time. Whether you recognize it or not, whether it makes you a little uncomfortable right now or not, I want you to know that that's a good thing that God is watching out for you. I know many of you can say and give testimony, I was so thankful that God was watching out for me because of this, that, or the other thing. And nothing was able to separate me from his gaze at all, at all. As David's contemplating all this, as he's amazed by this, he kind of gets even more reflective. He's thinking about how God knows everything about him, knows his thoughts, knows his actions, knows everywhere he is at all times, has his hand upon him, cares for him like nobody else, loves him more than he could even imagine. And then he starts to reflect upon what we showed at the very beginning of this message. He says, verse 13, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." In other words, from the moment of conception, you knew me. From that moment till now and into the future, you've known me from that moment in the recesses of my mother's womb. Where up until ultrasound, you know, so many years ago, nobody could see, right? God knew David in the womb. God knew you in the womb. God knew your mother in the womb. God knew your grandmother in the womb. God knew them all in the womb. God knows. He's got his eyes on us even then. And he says, because of this understanding, because of what God has done, how he knows us that way, even from that moment, from the time of our conception, he says, "I'm going to praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth," meaning in the womb. "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." In other words, God, you knew me from the moment of conception. And it's interesting here that the word that it says here about, you know, is skillfully made or skillfully wrought, that word in the original Hebrew language is embroidered. Now, some of you know about embroidery. I've only seen it being done. I never did it, never tried it. I can't do stuff like that. That's just, I have no patience for stuff like that. It's not my thing. But I know it's very intricate work. I know it's very personal work. I know when people are doing it, they take time, it takes patience. They have to, and there's a devotion of love for making that piece. You know, some do it for the experience itself, but some do it for whoever they're creating it for. God is embroidering every one of us in the womb. Understand that. It's not, see, I want us to understand how deep this goes. I want us to understand that God knew you from then. That, yes, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, all the, 100,000 miles of nerve endings and all this kind of stuff and how it can stretch across. I mean, it's craziness about how this body is so wonderfully made, right, by God. And it's all amazing. But I want us to understand something. It's more than just biology. It's more than even just the act of procreation and conception. It's more than just the mere biology that we understand, the nuts and bolts of how that happens. Yes, there is the biological part that was created by God. That's how we have, you know, the human race. But beyond that, it's more than just the biology of it and what happens to this body as it's being formed. God says, "I am embroidering you." David says he is embroidering. He is intricately, personally putting us together with uniqueness. We're all unique. We're all individual. God has done that for you in your mother's womb. Not just that, "Oh, it happened, blah, 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 and then it grew and all of a sudden it became me." No, God was embroidering you. And he has a plan and purpose for your life. See, you and I don't always see it, but David said, "When you were embroidering me, when I was made in secret, it was you doing the work down there, God, to make me the individual that I am going to be, that I have become. And God, you know that? Even when I was unformed, all of my days were written in your book. Do you understand where this is going? The uniqueness and the purpose of your life is not an accident. You're an embroidered, beautiful, wonderful, unique creation of God. And he wrote it all in a book. And some of you are saying, where's the book? I want to read it. I bought a bicycle for one of my grandsons this week, and we were leaving the store, and the guy says, hey, your manual. And I'm thinking, hey, cool, yeah, I'll probably never read it. His parents will probably never read it, but cool, that's good. We got the manual. Yeah. But guess what? Some of us live life that way. We don't need the manual, but yes, we do. There's a plan and a purpose for your life. And you say, where's the book? God has the book. Go and ask him to know it. Cry out to him. Say, Lord, there is a purpose in my life and for my life. I want to know what that purpose is. Help me to understand, because my soul deep down inside knows that there's some unique purpose for my life. And some of you are thinking now, but I'm never going to do this major thing or that. Every one of us has a purpose. As small as you might think, or insignificant as you might think it is, it's not. It's a plan of God, and he wrote it out in a book. And that's why he can tell Jeremiah, I have a plan for you, and it's a good plan. And David said, my soul knows it very well. In your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, even before I came out of the womb. It was already done by God. Now, on the hands and the shape of looking at moms today, to understand that as a mom, you know, you have an opportunity to be part of that. The plan of God. To be a vessel that God is doing the work inside the woman's womb. Knitting and embroidering and creating that life. And then gives you the privilege of having an opportunity to speak into that life when that life comes to birth. To speak into that life. And to walk alongside that life. And to help form that life. And we should understand, especially moms who know the Lord, and many unfortunately come to that knowledge too late, but hopefully some are listening today, or you'll pass this on to some younger moms as they're walking with their children. Guess what? You may have a plan for their life, but God has one, and it's better. Find out what his plan is. Pray. Seek his face. Cry out for your kids, your grandkids. Lord, you have a plan, and I know it's a good plan. What is that plan? Help us to get on the same page as you so that we can lead them and guide them in the way that you want them to go. See, that's what should be the prayer of the moms, prayers of parents, but we're focusing on moms today, to pray for the children, grandchildren, or other significant people in their life. Lord, help me to understand you have a plan and purpose for their life and for my life. And maybe I never appreciated the role that I have as a mom in raising children, or grandchildren, or adoptive kids, or neighbor kids, or somebody else that you've given me the privilege to walk alongside all this time. And look at it from the perspective of God. Wow, thank you for this privilege, and help me to know your book for them so that I can walk and lead them in the way you want them to go. And then the psalm kind of takes a weird turn here. And when I, you know, was reading the psalm in the conjunction of, you know, a message that has to do with, like, all of us but moms, I'm like, Lord, what do we do with this? And then, you know, there's that instant moment I think, well, maybe I just skip these verses. And I go, no, I can't skip God's word. There's a purpose for it. So I begin to pray, Lord, how do these really fit in to this message today about moms and about your creation, about how you know us and love us? And listen to what David says. Oh, that you would slay the wicked. It kind of comes out of left field, doesn't it? He's talking about the creation and intricacy and the womb and the beautiful embroidery and all that. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And I'm thinking, Lord, what do we do with that? I began to pray, and then you know what? Lord put on my mind and heart. I read them again, and I went, oh, mama bear, mama bear. This is like you could have the woman who is so quiet with ever, and you go do something to her kids, and mama bear comes out. And this is what David is at this point. He's thinking about the beautiful creation of God, the handiwork of God. And he says, God, I hate everybody who tries to destroy it. I hate everybody that wants to come against your creation. I hate all of this evil in the world that wants to bring down. Yeah, God, David even knew, yeah, we brought it into the world. But Lord, the enemy, he's come and he's taken advantage of our weakness. He's taken advantage of the sin in our life. And he's coming to destroy. And there's people trying to destroy this. Lord, I hate it. I hate what it's doing to your children. I hate what it's doing to my children. I hate what it's doing to my grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews, my neighbor's kids. I hate it. And you say, but wait a minute, that's not very New Testament to hate. And, you know, David wants to kill them and all this stuff. But guess what? Very new. You want to get me get real New Testament, you know? Yeah, David was a man of war and of blood. Yeah, we know that. But he most times, not all the time, would do it in righteousness, okay, to the enemies of God. But guess what? You're going to take a New Testament? We have an enemy called Satan who is looking to seek and destroy all of God's handiwork in creation, especially when it comes to the pinnacle of God's creation, human beings. And you and I, especially the moms in this room today, need to get that mama bear in them and begin to pray against the work of the enemy, to pray against his strategies and his plans, to pray against his weapons that are formed against the people that they love, to pray that, Lord, let his filthy hands off. And get it with that anger. See, you know, we sometimes, you know, there's some things within the church that we get wrong. And we do. And, you know, well, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. Yes. Yes. But you cannot love God nor your neighbor if you also love evil. You cannot love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, and tolerate evil in your life or in anybody else's life or in this world. And we have become too complacent to the evil around us. And the church needs to rise up and say, Lord, you are a God who is a loving God, a perfect God, a holy God, a God who created us in your image, and you embroidered every one of us, and you have a purpose for our life, and that purpose is that we would turn our hearts to you and live with you through all eternity. Our souls know that. Lord, I hate what the enemy's doing to destroy that. Lord, I want to rise up in righteous prayer and indignation to pray against the work of the enemy. Get your hands off. No more. And the church needs to wake up. And moms, many times it's you who needs to take and blaze the trail for the rest of us. So that's what David, I see, is doing here. He says, yeah, with all of this, I cannot stand those who will destroy or come against that. Now, David knew something else because he knew his own nature. And we kind of do too. So when David says this, I can see David getting riled up and reaching for his sword. Like, I want to go out to battle right now, you know? So before you get out your machine guns, and I'm not talking about your spiritual machine guns. I'm talking, before you get out the machete and you start going down the neighborhood and you go into the corner and say, you! And hacking people up, you know? Say this, Lord. Search me. Search me, Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Because, you know, Lord, I do want to go out sometimes. I do want to get the gun. I do want to get the axe. I do want to get the baseball bat. And I want to come against those that are causing problems in our world today. I want to just beat them to smithereens. But, Lord, no, that's not what we're called to do. So, you know, turn my heart instead of that way that would create more evil. Turn my heart to a heart that will go to warfare. Because our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty. And they're mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. So, Lord, search my heart first and make sure force within me. I don't tolerate evil in my life. Make sure I'm not a cause of it. Make sure that I'm not a gossiper or a busybody or I'm somebody who's telling stories or lies and I'm kind of part of the problem or that I'm just so complacent that I kind of just let it, tolerate it. No, Lord, let me search my own heart as you search it. Reveal it to me. Search me, Lord, and help me to know my heart as you know me. Try me, Lord, that I might know myself, because we're either too hard on ourselves or way too easy on ourselves. Lord, I want to see it how you see it so that I can pray against these things, that I can act. Sometimes it's not just prayer. Sometimes we have to act against these things that are in this world. But Lord, let me do it from a pure heart, a heart that's after your heart. Let me hate what you hate and love what you love. And let me no longer be complacent or sitting on the sidelines or cozying up with evil anymore, but search my heart and know me, try me, and know my anxieties. You all got them. We all got anxieties. Even the most chill amongst us. That one doesn't bother about anything. Oh, they got anxieties too. We all got them. In fact, according to most medical circles, anxiety is through the roof and running rampant in our society. I have my own pet theories about why that is, which I won't share at this time. But I'm going to tell you, you and I have anxious thoughts. Moms have anxious thoughts for their children and for their loved ones. To know that they could only do so much themselves. To realize they want to watch after them all the time, that they want to know what they're thinking as much as they think they can, you know, do that. They want to be able to help or do it. How do I do this, Lord? Lord, do I say something? Do I not say something? Especially as they get older. When do I wade in? When do I not? When do I say we keep quiet? When do I do this? All these anxious thoughts. You know what the Bible says? Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Father, know my thoughts. Search me. Know my anxieties. And Lord, where I am prone to those anxieties, for whatever the reason is, Lord, I cast my cares upon you because you care for me. Lord, help me with it when I'm in this anxious mind that all these thoughts are running wild. You know what happens at 3 a.m, right? You get up and meow. What do I do with this? You know what the Bible says? Take every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Cry out to him and say, Lord, I'm going wild here. I'm going crazy here. And you moms know especially those thoughts. And you're not sure what's going to, the next thing's going to happen in the morning or how you're going to even make it through the night. Take those cares, those anxieties, and cast them upon the Lord. Cry out to him. Bring them to him. And let him give you the peace of God. Let him give you a sound mind. Let him give you a heart that of faith that trusts him, that no matter what, he has got it under control. And you know all what you already heard. He's always with you. He's behind you. He's before you. He's watching you. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. He's got it. Know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. See, as we bring this all around, as we think about moms, as we already prayed for them, but we'll close in prayer for all of us and moms too. Just remember this idea. Take all of these things to heart today. The thoughts, God's care for us. And realize that we are seen by God all the time in the secret places. He knows us always and everything about us. He's hemmed us in. He's before and behind us. He knows your anxiety, so cast it all upon him. But remember something. You and I, and especially you moms, in a special way that it can never be with any men, but you moms in a special role, how you have become co-laborers in this idea of the growth of the human race, how God uses women uniquely in that way, embroidering a life within you. Let's remember the sanctity of life. Let's celebrate life. Let's recognize that life begins at conception. And God knows that life even before it's in the mother's womb and the whole time he's embroidering it. But women, especially you moms, you play a special role in that. Jesus himself acknowledged that role and honored that role with Mary. You know that? He recognized that she was his creation, but she was a part of the process of allowing him to come into this world as a child. He was in her womb. He was subject, the Bible says, to her while he was growing up. when he was an adult and he was starting his ministry. And she said to him at Cana to do this. He's like, okay, but he did what she asked him to do. And then at the cross, knowing that he was going to be leaving this world, and knowing that ultimately being God, he was going to take care of her, he entrusted her into another human being's hands. John, take care of mom. I'm gone. Take care of mom, John. How much more so should we be part as co-laborers with Jesus in doing this work as individuals, whether you're a mom or not, whether you were able to bear children or not, whether you're a dude or not. No. We all have a part in this. John had a role in Mary's life after that in a special way. We all have a part in honoring the women and the moms in our lives. And we all have a part of being co-laborers with God in this work of bringing people a knowledge of the truth so that they may walk in the way of everlasting life with Jesus Christ as they learn about him and give their heart to him for salvation. Psalm 139. Let's celebrate all of God's work, and especially our moms. Father, thank you today. Father, for this word, your word is truth. It's always true, Lord God. We thank you for the truth that is your word. Thank you for this time we've had today to gather to hear your word, and Lord, to remember and to celebrate moms. So we pray for them once again. We pray your hand of protection upon them. Lord, in whatever role they play, physical moms, spiritual moms, part-time moms, full-time moms, even reluctant moms, we pray for them. Cover them, protect them, keep them. Lord, let them learn to cast their cares upon you. Let them remember that they're only vessels, could only do so much, that they would become praying women, praying moms, having, Lord, that little bit of mama bear in them when it comes to praying against the work of the enemy. And to realize, Lord, that they have a special role to play, and that we pray for them, Father, and thank you for them and celebrate them today. And Lord, help us to understand what we could do to make their jobs a little easier. So help us today to know that we're all co-laborers with you as we celebrate their moms. So we pray for them, we pray for ourselves, we pray that your word would take root in our hearts, and that everyone who needs to, who has not yet taken that step of repentance to faith in Christ, we pray that something in this message today would touch in our hearts and they would seek. And maybe they would be the answer to a mom's prayer today that has prayed for their child for many years to come and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, there are, ladies, there are some nice tokens of appreciation on the back table there. Please take the one with you at least. If you hang around, there's any left over after the women take them, you can feel free to take one for somebody if you want to bless somebody else. But let's stand now and sing a song today and continue to encourage and bless one another.